in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit came in. I hope you didn't miss it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. My God, I feel like I could just sit down and go home. Man, I didn't praise myself sweaty now. Woo! Didn't sweat my little $40 hairdo out. But it's all good. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to have to make another appointment with Leni. Oh, Lord, I just went over there yesterday. My God, she's going to say, what you been doing? Woo! I'm going to say, I got to praise. Amen. I got to praise. I got to praise. I got to praise. Hallelujah. There is a word from the Lord. Just bear with me. Sometimes we just got to wait. You just got to let the Lord have his way. Amen. Amen. He wanted some worship. He wanted some praise. And I believe he's pleased. Amen. And now it's time for the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be here today. As Pastor Tim said, I don't take my assignments from the Lord lightly. As Minister Sonia said, that sometimes you got to go through some stuff. And I can't tell you what I went through to get this word. I'm telling you, man, laid on the couch for a week in pain and did something to my hip. I like, Lord, whew, you know I got to go give a word. Man, just been in some intense warfare. But you know what? When we on this journey, these things are to be expected. They are to be expected. And so I don't count it lightly every time I stand before the people of God. And I thank God they didn't put in the program guest preacher, because I don't feel like a guest. I feel like I'm at home. So I can kick off my shoes. Amen. I can kick off my shoes. Amen. Got a chance to take off my robe. But I like to put my robe on because I feel like I'm getting ready for a fight. So I'm getting ready to go into battle. And so I just like to serve the devil notice that we got a word from the Lord on today. And I pray that all of those that have ears to hear can hear what the Spirit's speaking. I don't plan to be before you long. Somebody's going to understand this. I've been meditating since my dear friend, Minister Tracy, called me. And by the way, I appreciate the invitation. I do. Pastor Tim, First Lady Paula, I don't know if they call you that here, but that's the reverence that I have for you, my sister. First Lady Paula, I love you. I just thank God for how I was greeted by her when she came in the door. She just hugged on me and loved up on me, and I said, Lord, I thank you. You don't get that everywhere you go. Amen. Some folk happy to see you come. Y'all laugh, so I think you know the rest of it. Yeah. But I thank God here at Emmy Grove, I'm welcome. And I thank God for the ministers, my dear friend, Minister McKessa, who came over. Pastor, I don't know what your title is, but you my sister, right? I love that sister right there, because me and her, we keep it real. She came over to center a couple weeks and asked me about something, and we just kicked it off. I like to come out behind the desk and give some nice, firm hugs. Pastor Tim said, I ain't trying to fake it. I am who I am in Christ. Amen. And I'm all right with that. Praise God. I'm all right. I'm very confident with who God has called me to be. It took some time to get there, but I'm still a work in progress. I'm still a WIP. We got any WIPs in the house? I'm still a work in progress. God ain't done with me yet. Amen. So I can say today, please be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. Amen. And to all the other ministers and those on the trustee who need to take care of the thermostat, where y'all at? Pastor already called you out. I'm just trying to show you some love. Show you some love. Thank God for the ushers and the musicians. Boy, let's give the praise team and the musicians, the choir, let's give them another hand. Amen. We appreciate you. Praise God. It's good to go somewhere and know that the presence of the Lord is going to be ushered into the house. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little bit, but it ain't take much today. We must have all came in here ready. Amen. We must have did something good last night. Amen. To get us ready for today, because, I mean, the Spirit just came in and he just fell in the midst. There's a lot of people here today, so I'm not going to try to acknowledge everybody. I just want to say I appreciate your support. If you came to support, amen. I know you came to support me, but I pray you came to hear from God. I love you. I appreciate you. My mother-in-law, cousins that stood up. My sister, she's Minister Teresa. She's a minister in training now. Praise God. Amen. Her, like me, she's still trying to accept that. When I was first called, I was like, man, I want people to know. I'll be hiding. You know, sometimes there's some people hold you at a higher standard, and they should. Amen. They see you all cutting up. Somebody should be like, hey, wait a minute. So I thank God for her, my brother. Y'all, everybody know Brother Teddy, right? That's my brother. Amen. I love Brother Ted. That's my brother right there. Brother Ted be keeping it real. Amen. For real. Boy, we had some family gatherings, and man, we didn't stop. Everybody went home just laughing on the way home. But we thank God. Thank God for you, Brother Ted. Thank God for where you're at. Thank you for my beautiful sister-in-law, Sister Sandra. Bless you, sweetie. Thank God for you all. Amen. And all those that have come to support. I haven't forgotten Herb. And everybody looking around. I haven't forgot my wonderful husband. I thank God for you, my partner in Christ. Amen. I don't know if this is appropriate, but if you want to just say a few words before we go into the message. Amen.
I ain't supposed to tell y'all this, but
That's what, see?
We have a nice chair downstairs.
See?
Sometimes we have numbness in our body or rest to go to that chair. Last night, Thelma was trying to keep her hair intact. Got twisting and turning and 12, 1 o'clock. We didn't get to stay up in Thelma. You might want to go there.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Bless you. Amen. Yeah, give him some tissues. Yeah, there you go. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 I thank God for that man right there. I tell you, I thank the Lord for him. Wouldn't trade him in for anything. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's been awesome. He's been right there. One of my biggest fans next to my sister Teresa, my prayer partner. We can pray together. We try to tell each other everything. That don't work sometimes, but we try anyway. But I thank God that in May we'll be celebrating 25 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And what nobody but Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Only Jesus could have did that. Praise God. Amen. Hey, anybody else got anything on your mind, on your heart before we get to the word? Amen. No? Pastor, no? Okay. Oh, I thought I saw a hand over here. My sister on the front row. You got your dancing? You got your praise on? All right. Okay. Praise God. I think she has. Amen. Amen. Praise God, sister. God bless you. And to the women of Emery Grove, God bless you. I know many of you all personally, praise God, but I'm just honored to be here. Those of you I don't know, I'd like to get to know you. Amen. Pray we'll cross paths somewhere, maybe at another church or at a service, but praise God for you today. It is Women's Day at Emery Grove. Somebody should clap right there. Amen. Women's Day at Emery Grove. It's Women's Day. Their theme is walking out in faith. And the scripture text has already been read, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation, the translation that Minister Tracy emailed to me, the one that was on your flyer. Many of us should have meditated it by now, or meditated on it. Many of us should know it and have already memorized it. So I'm going to ask one of the sisters if they, no, I'm not going to do that. Psalms 37:23, and the word of God says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." I want to speak from three words today: courage, obedience, and persistent in faith. Courage, obedience, and persistent in faith. And I just want to share this, that I had been meditating from the time that Tracy had asked me to come, and she gave me the scripture and the theme. And then I woke up this morning and left because I was requested to leave, and went to another room. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And the Lord said, "That's not it." And I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "Is that you, Lord?" Because he had already given me a message that I thought was for the women of Emery Grove today. And he said, "That's not it." So at the 11th hour, he began to minister another word. And I said, "Okay." We sang, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. But do we really mean it? When he comes and he flips the script and he begins to change the program, and we begin to be walking one way, and then God says, "No, I need you over here," or he says, "No, I need you over here to minister to this one. I know she ain't lovable. I know y'all ain't been the best of friends. I know y'all don't sit down and talk and dine with each other, but I need you over there to minister to this one." And so does our yes to God, is it really yes, Lord? That when he calls us to a thing, that we're ready to take it up and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm willing to do it." And so in my time of prayer, I was praying, "Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it." But I didn't think he would request this of me. And I thank God that it hasn't been the first time. Amen. So I said, "Okay, Lord, you did this before." Kind of like David. This psalm is written by David. So kind of like David. And so before we go any further, that was just a little preview. That was free. Okay? All right. But we're going to get to the word in a minute. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you on today, Lord God. We thank you for being here at Emery Grove, gathered together with the saints, most of all gathered together with the women of God, Lord God, to hear what thus saith the Lord. God, I pray now that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray as John the Baptist prayed in John 3:30, that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. There has come a time in our life where he needs to become more important and we need to become less important. And there needs to come a time in our life where he is in the forefront and we take a back seat. Hallelujah. That people don't see us and look at us and run after us, but God, they run after you. That is the intention on today, oh God. You know the intent of every man's heart, God. So, Father, I pray that those of us that have ears to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church today, oh God. We need to hear from you on today, God. More than ever before, as your women, as your servants, as your instruments, God, doing the best that we can do for you. But we desire to do more. We want to hear from you today, God. Help us to be still long enough to get this word in our spirits. We thank you for removing every distraction, every hindrance, anything that will come to stop or block your work and your purposes from going forth on today. God, we love you. We know that you're more than able. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And so I do want to speak from a perspective of courage, of persistence, of obedience, and persistent in faith, if you will, this morning. We need to give God our attention. We need to give attention to the things of God more than we've ever needed to give attention to them before. All right. We see the things that are going on all around us, things that are going on in our communities. Just a news flash, this world system is crumbling one thing after another. We can see it, and that's why our reliance and our dependence needs to be more and more and more and more upon God. Amen. And there's a work that he has for each and every one of us to do. If we're sitting on the pews and haven't done anything, we're not working in the church, we're not working outside the church, then we're not doing what God has called us to do as women of God. Amen. Men, since you're here, you can hear this message too, but I want to talk to the women if that's all right. Amen. As women of God, there's a work that God has for us to do. And we know that there's an enemy out there. He cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. So every step that we're taking for God, he's coming to try to stop it and to block it and to hinder it. And we need to know that as we're on this Christian journey. But we can rest assured in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things. God causes all things, not some things. God causes all things to work together to the good of them who love him and are the called according to his purpose. The God that we serve, he's all knowing. He's all powerful. He is all wise. He's able to keep us from falling. And so the journey and the path that we're on, it doesn't matter what happened. God knows about it. Nothing catches the God that we serve by surprise. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so, women of God, and all of us that are assembled here today, I want us to consider something. That's the word that the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. He wants us to consider what I'm about to say. And consider means to think carefully about what is about to come forth. It means to believe it. It means to take it into account. As I said, this is a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm, and he wrote this psalm out of his experiences and out of his experiences of knowing God. David took a look back over his life, amen, as he wrote this psalm. And you know what David did? David took time to evaluate his victories in life. He took time to evaluate his failures, the fiery trials, the tribulations, the situations and circumstances that David went through. He took time to evaluate them. And I'm convinced today, more than ever before, that we can do a whole lot up on the mountaintop. Remember Moses went up on the mountaintop, got the Ten Commandments, up there with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And God said, Moses, you need to get back down the mountain. Why? Because they was down there. They done made a golden calf. They down there worshiping the golden calf. Moses up on the mountaintop in the presence of God. He was in the presence of God, enjoying God's glory. And then he had to come from the mountaintop, go down into the valley. And when he got down into the valley, his circumstances changed. And not only did his circumstances change, Moses' attitude changed. Because when he saw what they did, he took the tablets and he threw them on the ground and he broke them. So I am convinced that things are different, and we see them from a different perspective when we're on the mountaintop than we are when we go through the valley. And so God want to get real with the women today. He want to talk to us about what do we do when we're in the valley? What do we do when we're in the valley? Are we going to still walk this thing out by faith? Are we still going to trust and believe God? Are we still going to say God is good?
Are we still going to come into church when times look dim and glim? And are we still going to praise him past our pain, past our hurt, past our disappointments? Husband ain't acting right. Kids ain't acting right. Things ain't going right at work. Are we still going to come in and praise God past our situations and past our circumstances? Women of God, that's what God is speaking to us today. He says, are we still going to do it? Moses up on the mountaintop came down, had a different perspective, got real angry. And see, I believe that when we come down into the valley, we're forced to take a deep, hard look inside to see who we really are in God. See, when everything is going good, we got a little bit of money in our pocket. Amen. All the bills are paid. Amen. We stepping out looking good, feeling good, sounding good. Everybody know we looking good. Amen. They can see by our countenance that everything is good. Amen. But what happens when we have to take a deep, hard look down inside? It's time to pray like David prayed. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. If there's any wicked way within me, lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Lead me in the way everlasting. And so we may fail at times. We may stumble. We may doubt. We may become discouraged on the journey. But we can't ever forget that we may fail the test, but we can still pass the course. There's nothing in the Bible that says that they had laid up for them a crown of righteousness because they passed the test. The Bible says they kept the faith. They finished their course. Amen. They ran their race until the end, and then they ran their course until the end, and then they had laid up for them a crown of righteousness. That the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ himself, hallelujah, he's going to place it on our head. Amen. Nobody but Jesus. Pastor, why would you reference that? Because many times that's referenced at a homegoing celebration. Because when we on this Christian journey, ain't nobody going to put that crown on you but Jesus. And so when we run in this race, we ain't running it for the pastor. We ain't running it for the minister. We ain't running, certainly ain't running it for the church building. We ain't running it for mommy or daddy, sister, brother. Each of us have to run this race for ourselves. And that's why many times as women of God, we get tired and we get weary. We trying to carry everybody on our back. We might be standing upright at first, but then eventually people see us. We start getting slumped and slumped and slumped over because we're trying to carry everybody on our backs. We have to go to God in prayer and say, Lord, am I supposed to do this? God, is this your will? God, is this what you would have me to do? And so God is calling us, women of God, courage, obedience, persistence in our faith as we're talking about walking out this Christian journey in faith. I just want to consider Hannah. Have you considered Hannah? Does anybody really know what Hannah went through? Have you considered her? Hannah got up. If you're taking notes, it's 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. But Hannah would get up every morning, and she would believe God to redeem her out of a situation. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. And so in that time, she was mocked, and she was talked about, and she was put down. There's people like that, women of God, all around us every day. But what is our position? Are we a Penina? You know what Penina did? Penina mocked her and made fun of her and said, you can't bear kids, but I can, which was awfully childish because they were both women. But the one thing that Hannah had going for her, Hannah's husband loved her. Have you considered walking in the steps of Hannah? We talk about walking in our faith, but when we think about what other people have to go through, I know sometimes that encourages me, but on the other hand, it discourages me. And it's like, okay, God, what can I do to help them? God, what is it that I need to do to help them to get to the next place? And Hannah took her concerns to the Lord. The Bible says she was in anguish, and she was in anguish of soul. Anybody been in anguish of soul? You're just so in distress, and your Hannah didn't want to even get up in the morning, but she got up anyway, and she continued to press through the anguish and the pain and the heartache. She continued to keep to her wifely duties and her duties at home, and she refused to retaliate back to her rival. She refused to retaliate back to Peninnah. And I just come today to say, as women, we got to uphold each other. I love this story of Hannah because it just, you can preach it from so many different perspectives. We got to hold each other up. No backbiting. No gossiping about each other. If you pick up the phone to call somebody, call because you want to pray with them. That's the only way we truly grow in the spirit. I look at Emory Grove as a mega church. Now, people say, well, mega church, that 2,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. You guys are mega in the spirit. People come here because the spirit draws them. People come here because of the praise and worship. People come here because of the word that's coming across this pulpit. And you can see that you're a mega church in the spirit realm because people's lives are being transformed. People are watching you. I watch you. Amen. I'm just concerned, as me and Reverend Irvin, about your soul as pastor is. Amen. And so we're watching you. We see you. We see things that are not right. Pastor, we need to talk to the pastor about this, but we're going to correct you. Amen. 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 Because God says, I correct those whom I love. He's not going to let us stay to ourselves. He doesn't want us to stay in the place where we are. He is a good father. I love that song. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. I know I'm loved by my father because he corrects me when I get out of line. And it doesn't feel good, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, but it says it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Of righteousness. We got anybody in the house that wants to be in right standing with God today? We should want to live a life of holiness before God today. Amen. Amen. And so Hannah began to cry out to God. And instead of retaliating to the very one who was at her, she began to earnestly cry out to God in the midst of her difficult situation. And Hannah, she took the courage to get up every morning. Out of her obedience unto God, she prayed to him. And she was persistent in her faith. She didn't give up in the midst of what she was going through. And God heard her cry. Even a priest rebuked her and said, are you drunk with wine? What is going on with you? She was praying. Her lips was moving, but wasn't nothing coming out of her mouth. I've been in those places before. But I thank God in the midst of persistent prayer, God will come through and he will answer. We just have to be persistent and going to him and going to him. And Hannah went to him and she went to him sincerely with the right heart and God answered her. Amen. And the Bible says in due season, Hannah conceived and she had a son. And when she was crying out to God, she said, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you all the days of my life. And sometimes, like us, we tell God that, and we'll go back on what we said. But Hannah gave that baby boy to God all the days of his life after she weaned him, the Bible says. And it says she raised up a son, and Samuel was responsible. Amen. And his life impacted nations. And so when we talk about walking out in faith, and on the journey that we're on, God orders the steps of every man. Amen. Have we considered the steps of Hannah? Because I know there's many of us in this room, we've gone through some trying times. And I know many of you like me have said, God, is this you? We have. That's. But what God is doing in the midst of all of that, we have to understand what he's doing. What he's doing is he's making us. And he's molding us, and he's growing us up in the midst of our situations and our circumstances. We don't want to reject them. We don't want to deny them. We don't want to say, I can't do this. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, God, but your will be done. And many times we overlook that in the scripture because God didn't send the ministering angels until Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And after he said that, after praying and drops of blood, like sweat was coming down off of him, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible declares that he sent ministering angels to Jesus to minister to him, to strengthen him, to help him to get back up so that he can get back up on his journey and continue the journey until the end. And that's what God is calling us to do as we're walking out this life in faith, as we're walking it out before God. I don't know what kind of shoes Hannah had to walk in, but I tell you what, she had on some shoes of pain, some shoes of anguish, some shoes of distress. She was a praying sister. That's evident by what the scripture text tells us. She loved the Lord because she went every year up every year with her husband to Shiloh to offer the sacrifices unto God. So we know she knew the Lord. And through her courage and through her obedience and through her persistent faith and her persistence in prayer, God came through and he answered my sisters. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you considered the steps that Hannah had to walk in? Have you considered the steps that the woman with the issue of blood had to walk in? Mark 5, 25 to 34. Have you considered what that sister had to go through? 12 years. The Bible says the woman suffered many things. She took many things of physicians. I don't know if they were good or not, or if they were just taking her money. But the Bible says she suffered many things under many physicians. She spent all that she had, and she only grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, have you considered the steps of the woman with the issue of blood? See, she did everything first, but then when she heard about Jesus, that was a long road. I don't know what kind of shoes she had to walk in, but I believe there had to be some miserable times because in her condition, she couldn't be out in the midst of the community like we are today. And I tell you, when I got injured and my hip was messed up, and being an athlete, I knew what to do. You ice, right? So you rest. So I stayed home, didn't go to work, rested. I iced, compression, right? Laid on the couch downstairs, right? Eating them Advil like Skittles, right? Boy, and nothing would kick that pain. I just sat there day after day after day. I thank God for a praying sister, a praying husband. If any of y'all knew you was praying for me, thank God for you. Because I tell you, the pain was unbearable. It was just an achy, throbby all day, all night. Couldn't sleep. Just lay there. Couldn't sleep. And so I know what it means to be shut in for a whole week. No fellowship with nobody. I said, Lord, I can't wait to get to church. But I was in so much pain that that's all I could put my mind on. And then I had to stop and think, and I had to chuckle for a minute. I was just like, man, God, why? I don't need to be so cast down about this. I need to just turn it over to you. And as Urban said, eventually I got up, went to the doctors, and the doctor showed me and told me what I needed to do. I don't want to be real graphic, but he said, you need to get a needle. That's all I'll share. And I said, well, is it going to hurt? And he said, well, have you ever gotten a needle that didn't hurt? And I said, well, I just want to know how much it's going to hurt before you give it to me. And so I went and got that taken care of, and it still didn't kick it. And I believe that on our journeys that we're on, there are some things that only God is able to do. Like the woman with the issue of blood, there's only some things that only God can do. We get frustrated. I got a little frustrated. I was like, man, is this ever going to stop? How long am I going to have to go through this? And I said, God, I didn't pray that he take it away. I just said, how long? You know, maybe he give me a little insight, a little revelation about how long I got to go through it. Amen. But there's times when things come in our lives that can't nobody but God do it. And I don't know if you've been there yet, but I've been there. This hasn't been the first time that I've been there. But there's only some things that God can do. And that's why our reliance and our dependence, hallelujah, needs to be upon the Lord. Amen. We need to know how to pray. God said, my eyes are upon the righteous. He says, my ears are open to your prayers. I hear you, my sons and my daughter, when you pray to me. I may not come when you want me to come, but I just want to share with you today, if you forgot, that I am always right on time. I'm going to be there for you in the midst of what it is that you're going through. And many times we have to take our eyes off of what we're going through so we can see God in the midst of it. He's there. How do we know he's there? The Bible declares he would never leave us nor forsake us. He says he's with us everywhere we go. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us everywhere we go. And so she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be made whole. And so sometimes in the midst of what we're going through, sickness, pain, no matter what it may be, we got to know that God is going to deliver. He's going to be there. He's going to show up. God is going to do what he said he would do. We just need to do what we say we're going to do. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And I thank God for the word in Psalms 34:19 that says, many are the affliction of the righteous. But the Lord said, I will deliver you out of them all. And so that's when I had to chuckle on the couch when that word came. Many are the affliction of the righteous. But God, he said, I will deliver you out of it all. You don't need to know how long. I just need you to hold on by faith and know that I'm going to show up. And I'm going to be there to do what I said that I'm going to do. You be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Amen. And so she was courageous because she had to step out and do something that she shouldn't have done. And people knew. They knew about her situation. I'm sure she talked about it. I'm sure they talked about her in the marketplace. And she stepped out, and out of her obedience, she touched the hem of his garment. And in her persistence, she had to press through a crowd. I don't know about you. Sometimes when we come into church, we have to press through some things just to make our way to the altar. We got to forget about everything that's going on around us. We got to lay down our pride. God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. He says, humble yourself under my mighty hand, and in due season, I will exalt you. So sometimes when the altar call comes, we got to forget about everybody else. I can't, like the woman with the issue, but I can't do this no more. I don't need to do it anymore because there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus, and he is just waiting there with open arms for me to come. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for many of us to still come. He's waiting for many of us just to come and just to lay it at his feet. He's waiting. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. I want us to get that in our spirit. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. All she had to do was get up, press her way through the crowd, touch the hem of his garment. And I don't want to just say just because I've never walked in the steps of the woman with the issue of blood. So I can't say she just because I don't know what it took for her to get up out of her house and walk through that crowd of people. And some and many who knew her when she wasn't supposed to be out there because she was deemed unclean and walk. And somebody said, Jesus is here. And all she could do was look for him. She looked past everybody else and said, I just want to know where this man named Jesus is. I heard he can heal. I heard he can set free. I heard that he can deliver. I heard that he can lift me up out of my situation and circumstances. I heard that I don't have to stay in the place where I am on today, but there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And the same thing that he did for her, that he will do the same for us. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at one and treat them any better than he treats another. We serve a good God, a God that loves each and every one of us. And the one thing that I love about the body of Christ, especially with the women, I love the women. I love you. Amen. And we need each other. The devil is a liar. I like to say that everywhere I go for Women's Day, the devil is a liar. We need each other. We can get along. We can do what God has required of us to get the work done. Amen. If you look around the church, there's more women in the church than men. Not to say anything bad against the men. I just want to put that disclaimer out there. Not to say, I'm happy y'all here. Amen. It's good to see the men representing the women at Women's Day. But there's a lot of women here. And God has a significant plan and a significant purpose for your life. Some of us, I put myself in that category, are getting up in age. We have more years behind us than we do in front of us. And so it's time to stop playing. So it's time to stop playing. We ain't got a lot of time. Come on, somebody, amen. We ain't got a lot of time left. We don't have a lot of time left. And that's one thing that God's really embedded in my spirit. We don't have a lot of time left. I don't know when God will call me home. But I pray your declaration like mine, I want to finish my course. I want to finish it all the way. I don't want to get to the finish line and then, bam, something happened. And they said, y'all, Reverend Nolan, went home, be with the Lord. But I want to know that I know before God calls me that I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And then lastly, have you considered the steps of the mother of Jesus? An angel of the Lord was sent to Mary, and he told her, rejoice. Man, that's the first thing he said. And if you look in the text, I think it's an exclamation point there. Rejoice! And so she sees the angel, and I would be like, I would be rejoicing too. It's an angel of the Lord. He came from God to visit me. He came to see about me. He considered me. And then he said, rejoice, highly one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And Mary saw him, and she was troubled by the saying. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Thank God for the visitation of the angels. They eventually get to the point because he said, rejoice, right? She rejoiced. She said, you're blessed. You're favored of God. Don't be afraid. And then he said, behold, you're going to have a son. And she said, what? I'm going to have a what? You're going to have a son. And you're going to call his name Jesus. And Mary said, how can this be? I don't know a man. I like how the King James said, I don't know a man. I don't know a man. I don't care how you say it. I don't know a man. I don't know. I don't care how you say it. But Mary said, I don't know a man. I don't know how this is going to happen, God, but I don't know a man. Have you considered the steps of the mother of the Mary of the mother of Jesus? She said, I don't know a man. And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit, he's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And Mary, out of her obedience, she said, behold, thy maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. On this journey, we're going to get some messages. We're going to get some news. People are going to come and say things to us. But are we going to be able to be like Mary and be courageous and be obedient and say, behold, thy maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. Yes. Have you considered the steps that Mary had to walk in? Have you considered the steps of faith that Hannah had to walk in? Have you considered the steps of faith that the woman with the issue of blood had to walk in? And so today God is saying, you can do it. Women of Emory Grove, you can do it. We have to step out and be courageous. We have to be obedient unto what God is calling us to do and not fight against it. Not say, God, I can't. We need to ask God to take I can't out of our vocabulary. I've heard it said another way, take I can't out in your backyard and bury it, because we don't serve a God of I can'ts. We serve a God that says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I'm a living witness of that today. I lived off of I can't. I can't, God. I can't do. No, I can't go there. I can't do this. No, that was me in Thelma, in my flesh, in myself, in me. That was me. But that's not the God that we serve. We serve a God that's with you everywhere that you go. And the one thing I love about God, he doesn't expect us to do this in our own strength. He says, not by our might, nor by our power, but he says, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. See, we can, if we take the time to take this right here and get this in here. Take this right here, the word of God, and get this in here. The Bible declares in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we hear this, the more we read it, the more we study it, the more we meditate on it, God grows us in our faith. And there's going to be times, too, on this Christian journey that we may have to walk in some steps similar to these women that God showed us today. I don't know what it is for you, but I come to tell you, you can't do it in your own strength. You need Jesus, and you need more of him, and we need more of him, and we need more of him. Less time with the TV and more time with Jesus. Less time on the phone and more time with Jesus. Less time in social media and more time with Jesus. Or do you love him today? Because when you love somebody, you're willing to spend some time with them. You're willing to make some sacrifices. You're willing to give up some things and say, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you today that I love you, God, more than anything. Do we love him more than all of those other things? Amen. That we can take the time to spend a little time with him. Amen. That's what he wants. That's what he requires. That's what he wants from us as women of God, so we can stay on this faith journey. All of us on this faith journey together. I wouldn't want to walk in Emmy Grove and somebody tell me that this one didn't make it, or that one didn't make it, or this one didn't make it. Because the Bible says in this time, in this season, that many are going to fall away from the faith. This is why we need this, and we need more of it. Amen. So that when you need me, I can be there for you. And when I need you, you can be there for me. This is just not about the ministers, not about the pastors. It's not just about the people that stand behind this podium. It is about all of us. It's going to take all of us, amen, hooked together, arm to arm, breast to breast, hand to hand, amen, to continue to work the finished works of Jesus Christ, the finished works of Acts. Acts ain't over. If you know about the books of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, amen. Romans, Acts like them. You find Romans after that. God needs us, my sisters. He needs us. And we need to do this together. We need to do it together. Here at Emory Grove, you need to do it together. Amen. You need to do it together. If you have any aught against your brother or your sister, go make it right. My mother passed 5 years ago. I said, Lord said you need to share this. And my father passed, it would be a year in June. But yesterday was my dad's birthday. And so today, 29th today, thank you. You know, I was writing the wrong date down yesterday then. And so as I was writing the date down, I just kept, hey, it was my dad's birthday. And I loved my parents dearly. I held them enclosed in my heart. And I thank God that I was able to do for them. I thank God I was able to finish my course with them before they translated to glory. And so these are not really tears of sadness or just tears because I'm talking about it, but I was able to finish my course with them. And so when God called them home, I could say, okay, Lord, I could rejoice in that. Did I miss them? Did it hurt? Was I sad? Absolutely. Because of the eternal separation, that I won't see them again until I get on that side of glory. But I say that to say this, is that if we're not walking in the path that God wants us to, we're missing people. There's folks out there that you're called to save, and you're called to save, and you're called to reach. We're not called to reach everybody from behind this pulpit. And so that's why it's so important to stay steady to your course. See, I don't have to be jealous of Minister Newman, because I got my own race to run. I don't have to be jealous of Minister McKessa, because I got my own race to run. Amen. I don't have to be jealous of Sister Sandra. I couldn't sing like her anyway. Amen. And so because we all have our own course to run, we can just tell the enemy we serve sentence to jealousy right now.
Amen.
We rebuke division right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. I need you and you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me and I'm going to stand with you. Don't talk bad about me. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I can tell you that right now. I'm a woman of God. If I got something to say to you, I'm going to tell you to your face.
Amen.
And most of the time, I'll tell you with a smile on my face. Why? Because I love you. The Bible says that we are to do it in love.
That's
I'm
going
to come and I'm
going
to hug
right.
up on you, and you can know that it's genuine.
Yeah.
because of what God wants to do in us and through us. Yes. Amen. Let us stand all over the church. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise.